carried me along. In my soul I yearn to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could begin.
So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to a friend who took my place and ran the course I could not start. And when he saw in full just
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Please grab your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What a great truth in music, were it not for grace. Let's stand together and we'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 55. In a couple weeks, we were going to do it next week, but we're going to move it up a couple weeks. We're going to have what we call 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll stand together and read from a few verses here. We're going to have what we call Ministry Involvement Sunday, and it has to do with step four, serving others, ministry, and soul winning. And what we're going to do everything we can with God's help to help everybody in Pacific Baptist Church to become workers for the Lord. Okay, we're trying to do this in a very orderly, of course, scriptural way. And on that day, you're going to come to church, and I won't give you all the details. And there will be tables all over the church, and one table will say RU Ministry. You say, what's that? That's a ministry to the addicted. You say, oh, I wouldn't want to be involved with that. You never know; it might give you help. It's all kinds of addictions. Yeah. alcohol and drugs and pornography and shopping, eating, and all that type of stuff, okay? All those addictions. And then we have many ministries, okay? And God, if you're a Christian, God wants you working for the Lord, okay? And so, by the way, we don't, oh, Pastor, people might come and feel pressured. We're not trying to pressure anybody more than what God wants them to be pressured, okay? But we're not going to pressure them any less than God wants them to be pressured, okay? And so you say, and by the way, you know who the joyful people are? People serving God, okay? Serving God, it coming to church is a part of it, but it's definitely not all of it. It's just a sort of a start. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and by the way, we're going to, there's some of us, maybe you say, well, I've been at Pacific Baptist. I used to work in a ministry, and, you know, I just lost the heart for it or whatever. That's okay. Sometimes there's another ministry for you to serve in, and we'll give you that opportunity, and that's the time to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're gonna go all the way down. That was pretty good, John, but I saw that. Okay, I saw that. I see everything. 1 Corinthians 15. Why don't we go down to verse 55. And, of course, in this church at Corinth, there was people doubting the resurrection, and Paul sort of clarifies here in chapter 15. And look at verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? Jesus took the sting out of death. We don't look at death the way the unbeliever looks at death, okay? We don't have the sting of death. And where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren. By the way, Paul had to, in this letter, he had to really call down the people at the church of Corinth. I mean, there is all kinds of mess going on there. And he had to be really straightforward. There was sexual sin in the church, and there was incest in the church. And man, there was division, and the leaders and people were saying, you know, I'm of Brother Myers. And they were saying, I'm of Brother Pineda. And they're saying, I'm of Brother Beck. And they were saying, I'm of Brother Ray. And all kinds of division in the church. And so throughout the book of the 1 Corinthians, but I like what he does. He says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren. You know, sometimes, whether it's a father, it's a pastor, it's a leader, sometimes we have to just shoot straight. It doesn't mean we don't love our children. It doesn't mean we don't love the church, okay? And so he's here. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Stay with it. Unmovable. By the way, we need some unmovable Christians. Well, you know, I got mad because, you know, they didn't let me sing my special. It wasn't they. It was everybody, okay? We're not letting Brother Myers sing a special in this church. Okay, he'll run everybody off. Okay, so look, steadfast. Someone's going to offend you. Someone's going to take your seat. Someone's going to, you know, you're going to leave your Bible, and the Bible disappears. You say, who gets it? I'll tell you, the teenagers get it. They cross out your name, and they put their name on it. Now, I tell them that's stealing. Okay, but hey, Jesus had 12. One of them was a thief, okay? So, but steadfastness. Listen, things are going to happen, but you just stay with it. Serve the Lord. Stay in the church you're in. Don't become a church hopper. I get mad here, and I get our southern brothers, they say, listen, they said in the south, the people are church hoppers. Every other week, they get mad at here. They get mad at here. Don't do that. Be steadfast. Always abounding. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, listen to this, in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, help us to be workers for Christ, and help us to know why we're workers for Christ. And Lord, help us as we open your word and learn and challenge and instruct. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. working for God. Again, as we look at step four, really that's where we're trying to lead every new Christian. By the way, if you've been a Christian for a long time here, to become a worker for God. Okay, we know we need to love the Lord, and we need to love others, and we need to serve God, and then we need to serve others. All of God's people are to be workers for Jesus all of the time. 1 Corinthians 15, we just read, always abounding in the work of the Lord. By the way, again, the Corinthians, it was not a model church. This was not the church you'd say, all right, that's where all the workers are going to be. The truth is, if there was a church where there weren't going to be workers, it's that church. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, hey, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. All of us. Titus 3:1 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and the powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. That's a work for God. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, that would be us this morning if you're saved, might be careful to maintain good works. Good what class? Works. These things are good and profitable unto men. By the way, we have so many people, piano players, Sunday school teachers, ushers, working for the Lord, PA men. They're the guys I always yell at, and I give them the eye. That means the monitor's not on. By the way, I do know sign language. Okay? Point at the piano, and I point over here. That means the monitor's not on the piano. But they're working for the Lord. Working for the Lord. We put an email out. The steeple is in the sun, where the steeple sets on. It has no shade. Put an email out. Several of our guys, I guess not a bunch, said, hey, Pastor will help. And Ryan Rawl was up there, and he was sanding and scraping. You say, what is he doing? He's working for the Lord. Thank you, guys. Many of Cody and Chip and several others. Saturdays, a lot of people come out here, Monterey Park and the Spanish and then the English and different groups. They go out, tell people about Jesus. What are they doing? They're working for the Lord. Cleaning up the buildings. By the way, if you say, Pastor, I have spare time. I don't know what to do with my time. Come over here and we're going to help you work for the Lord. Amen. Is there ever anything at the church that needs to be done? There's always everything in the church that needs to be done. And the work of the Lord never stops. Dawn DeCosta, after Thursday night service, she told me a story. I won't tell you all the details because I forgot all the details. But she said some 14-year-old boy needed some help, and next thing you know, it was Daniel Lopez, Frank. Frank Lopez was taking them home, and they won the boy to Christ, and I think the family came to church. You say, what are they doing? They're working for the Lord. Kyle and his dad and Stephen Myers were over here this week. They're getting their new classroom ready for a new Sunday school class, and they're working for the Lord, and God wants all of his children to be working for the Lord. We're all supposed to be in the work of the Lord all of the time, all of the time. Number two, our good works for the Lord are to be out of gratitude for God's goodness, his mercy, and grace, not working for salvation or merit. Okay, so why are we working for the Lord? Are we trying to get God to bring us to heaven? No, no, no. We can't do anything, any work to take us to heaven. See, why are we working for the Lord? We're working for the Lord to say, Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you. I was staggering through life, and you brought me to yourself, and now I'm saved. That's why we work for the Lord. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to go through this quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. Our good works for the Lord are to be out of gratitude for God's goodness and mercy. The grace the girls were talking about this morning. Were it not for grace. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened. You say, what's that? Made alive. Do you know before you were saved and I was saved, we were dead. Remember those, we shouldn't have been watching those old spooky movies, but you know, before salvation, we did things we weren't. Remember the zombie movies? Do you know before you got saved, that's how you and I were. We were staggering. We had no direction. He said, you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past, verse 2, ye walked. That walked is like a staggering. You thought maybe I had my degree and I was going somewhere before Christ. No, according to God, if you were not saved, you were staggering. You were walking, staggering like a drunk man through this life. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You say, who's that? The devil. Satan had a couple of his puppet strings on you somehow. Power of air, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past in lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. By the way, before we were saved, that's what we live for. Fill the flesh and just take care of the flesh and eat, drink, and be merry, and play, and sin, and anything to make us feel good. That's how we were before we got saved. The desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But he's painting a black picture. He's saying, this is us before salvation. Verse 4, but God, by the way, I like those two words, but God who is rich, he doesn't just have mercy, he's rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He painted that black picture. Then he says, God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, while we were dead, even when Christ died for us while we were sinners. Verse 5, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together. By grace are you saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness through us, through Jesus Christ. So the riches here on earth that he'll give us, the spiritual riches, and the riches someday we'll experience in heaven. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You say, what do you have to do for a gift? Nothing. You just receive it by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't boast of our salvation. We can't boast of what God is. Oh, well, it's because I'm a good person. No, it's not. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto what, class? Look up here. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, listen, you're saved now. God cut the puppet strings from Satan. You're no longer staggering through life. You're saved by grace. He was rich in his mercy. He didn't give you what you had coming to you. Grace, he gives you the blessings you don't deserve. And he paints this very dark picture. And then he says, hey, why don't you work for God? Why don't you work for God? Serve him. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number 11. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Aren't you glad that Jesus gave himself for us? That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of what, class? Zealous of what? He said he saved us. He redeemed us. He redeemed us from iniquity and to purify unto him a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Look over one chapter. Look at verse 5 of chapter 3. Not, same book. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. The simplest definition of mercy is God not giving to you and to me what we deserve. Man, I'm glad I don't. Yeah, well, you know, that guy's got what's coming to him. None of us got what's coming to us. You remember, and I do this every once in a while. Come over here, Brother Myers. Remember when we were kids, we'd play mercy? Remember that? How many remember that? And you'd go like this, and this guy would have to say what? He'd have to say mercy to let go. You say, why is mercy? Because he got himself involved in this, and I could just break his knuckles. Okay? Well, God, in his mercy, he saved us. And we don't have to die and go to hell. We don't have to live in our sins. And he says, verse 5 again, and not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. You need to say these constantly, Titus, that they which have believed in God, that's us, might be careful to maintain what, class? Good works. Those of us are saved, we should be doing good works for God. We do good works for the Lord to say thank you for his mercy. I've told the story two times. I'm going to tell it again this morning. The Signal Hill police officer pulled me over. I was on my phone. Don't look at me like that. You've been on your phone too. Okay. And actually, I'd pulled over. My children rehearsed it. I had pulled over to talk. And then I start taking off. And I'm like, okay, I'll see you later as I took off. He said, well, why didn't you tell the police? He didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear that. It was my wife's car. She sent the wrong insurance. She sent the insurance on the Chevy and not on the van, so I didn't have registration. And there's something else, three. And he came first. He pulled me over. He frisked me. Man, I felt like a criminal. Put me on the curb. Had me sitting on the curb. Pastor sitting on the curb. Man, I'm like, I hope none of my people are shopping over here. But where's that place? Target, but what's up? Oh, you were there too. And I go, oh, my soul, my kids are in a car. We're just getting popcorn to watch Andy Griffin that night. And I had my flip-flops on. I said, I'm going to drop you kids off. And I go, man, this guy. And he wasn't very nice. You know, all right, come on. Got a fresh again. You know, I'm just looking around. Who's watching, you know? And then, all right, got to sit on the curb. Then he says, all right, go back in the car. And then he goes to his car, and I'm going, this guy. And he comes back, and he says, I don't give any breaks. I'm like, I didn't ask you for a break. We just want to get our popcorn and go home. He said, but I'm going to give you three breaks. What was the other third one? Oh, I didn't have my driver's license. Dave, was that Dave DaCosta? You keep up with all my personal life, don't you? I didn't have my wallet. No driver's license. And And he said, I'm not going to give you any of them. I wanted to hug the guy. He must have gone in his car and an angel showed up and said, don't do it. Give this preacher a break. Really, to this day, if that guy walked in the door, I'd say, I'm taking you out to Morton's. Yeah. Brother Myers is paying, but I'm taking him. You say, why? He was merciful to me. You see, when you understand mercy, it's a spontaneous thing to do something for the person that's given you mercy. And God's been a lot more merciful to me than that Signal Hill police officer. So for me to work for God, it's like, yes, I'll do it. We do God's work to say thank you for his mercy. And then we do God's work to say thank you for his grace. Mercy is more like God not giving to us what we deserve. There may be some better definitions, but that's just the cornbread one. Grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. You see, mercy is God knowing us, and he knows our heart, and he knows our mind, and he knows all the deeds, and yet he still forgives us. And then grace is God knows that we don't deserve anything from him, but he still saved us, and he forgave us, and he still blesses us, and he's faithful to us when we're not faithful to him. I mentioned this yesterday in Faithfulness Rally. Mike West, I can't figure it out yet. Mike West owns his own business in Tennessee, and he came here with some guys once and started working on our building. He paid his own plane ticket. Then he came back another time, and he brought a bigger group with him. We didn't pay a penny. Then he started doing, not only, he didn't only come here and work. I mean, they'll come here for 7 days, 10 days, and just work on our building. They pay their own plane tickets. We feed them, but that's it. House them. And he's been very, very good to our church. He's been very good to my family. He's really... We haven't done anything for him. He'll give my boys knives. Come on, boys are supposed to have knives. Okay, come on. They're not like butcher knives. They're little knives, little pocket knives for my boys. He's given me books, DVDs. By the way, he's sent money for our building program. And I don't mean $50 or $100 or $500. He sent money here. We've never done anything for the guy. Well, actually, Susan and Robert do. They feed him really good when they stay at his house, or Robert and Susan's house. When the last time they were here, he's been here, I want to say, about six times. They're coming again in a couple weeks. They got together and they said, Pastor, we got together and we took an offering for you. I'm like, with who? They said, we got our guys together. The guys that came from out of state paid their plane ticket to come work for us, and they gave me an offering. I said, you're not supposed to give me offerings. We're supposed to give you offerings. Mike West, he gave me this box, and he said, here's some hats I want you to give to your guys. And they're custom-made hats, say Pacific Baptist. He said, I made these in Tennessee. Give them to your guys. I'm thinking, wow, this guy is very gracious. He asked me to do one thing. He said, Pastor, there's a young preacher in Tennessee, and he said, I want him to come out here and learn from you. I don't know if he can learn from me. But he said, I'm gonna have him come out here. He's gonna help us work, but he said, will you give him some time to train him? Now please get this. I'm giving him a pastor school. I'm taking my whole staff and saying, Mike West asked if we can help this preacher. By the way, I'm not helping the preacher really to help the preacher. I'm helping the preacher for Mike West. Now, I like to help preachers if I can. I guess a little older I get, maybe I can help a couple younger preachers. But more than helping that young preacher, and I'll enjoy it, and I like to help young preachers. He's in his early 30s. I'm doing it for Mike West. You know, that's how our service for God ought to be. By the way, Mike West doesn't have to pull on me and remind me and say, oh, please do it. Listen, I'm looking for something to say thank you to the guy. And by the way, that's how Christians ought to be. We ought to be looking for somehow to say thank you to Jesus for the grace that he's given us as his children. Well, I was working, always, my kids are always working at the church. They're working for God. And he's worthy. It's better them working the streets. Well, you know, I'm afraid they might end up over there in the mission field. Better than them ended up in prison. By the way, it'd be a good, there used to be a day and age when mothers and fathers loved Jesus so much, when their children were called to the mission field, there would be tears of joy because they're like, wow, my child gets to serve God on the mission field. Now there's tears of sorrow. Our brand of Christianity, I don't mean us in our church, but just in general, is sick. It's sick. Like we're doing something for Jesus. Man, we're not doing a whole lot for Jesus, but whatever we're doing, he deserves it. The fruit of being saved and understanding God's grace and mercy should produce zealous good works. Zealous good works. Look there in Titus 2:14, we just read it. Zealous good works. Who gave himself for us, Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us that he might, verse 14, Titus chapter 2. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's a special people. Zealous of good works. Can everybody say zealous? We should be so grateful to God. And by the way, you can't just strum it up. You say, what do? You just meditate on the grace of God. And you think about where you were going before you got saved. I did that this morning just to rile myself up for Jesus. And I thought about where I was headed. Thought about some of my friends that died and went to hell. That could have been me. Where are my friends ended up? And then God says, you know what? Your works ought to be zealous. You say, what do you mean zealous? Zeal is passionate, ardor in pursuit of something, eagerness and desire to accomplish something. A zealot is one who pursues his object with eagerness. By the way, everybody's zealous about something. Oh, yes, they are. Sports. Right now, man, I like college basketball. I really do. I have to have God's grace to keep me from loving it. But I've watched, you've seen football games in Minnesota in December. And here's this guy, he's like 400 pounds. He has no shirt on, he has no t-shirt on. It's 15 degrees, and he's got Vikings on his chest. Painted. He's zealous for the Vikings. He's willing to be cold. He's willing to look like a fool. You know, Jesus says, I want some zealous workers. Dr. Hawking over here, he has a book. I didn't read the whole thing, but I read quite a bit of it. It's basically a commentary on the book of Titus. In his book, he says, Christians are not to take the lead or excel in wealth, power, or position, but in the performance of good works. You say, what should you be known as? Someone that's zealous of good works. That's what God wants, zealous of good works. By the way, Brother Hawking, 57 years on the mission field. Dr. Hawking, we're trying to find someone that's been on the mission field that's alive 57 years. We can't find him. But we have, you know, I'm not flattering Dr. Hawking, but Jesus said there's no greater man. When he talked about John the Baptist, we have greatness in our presence. Him and his wife, 57, Africa. Don't you think there's, you say, Pastor, what's the point? They were zealous, still are zealous for good works. 57 years on the mission field. And you know what he's doing now? He's writing books and he's still serving the Lord. God bless him and his wife. Zealous of good works. I'm sure there are times when they want to come home. And if they came home, nobody's gonna say anything. Come on. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Started about 100 churches in Africa. Amen. The Lord desires us to be zealous in our work for God. Get excited about the work of God. Well, I'm afraid someone might think I'm weird. They think the Minnesota Viking guy that paints on his stomach is weird, but they still are Viking fans. Listen, we're not trying to be weird, but we ought to be zealous for the cause of Christ. Amen. Oh, Pastor, I'm afraid someone might think that our church is a little too zealous. I don't think you can be too zealous for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God's desire, my desire, and I believe is your desire, that we would have a church that loves God. And because of his love for us and his grace for us and his mercy and his goodness, that we would be zealous of good works. Let me read this and I'll close. This is St. Patrick's Day. I see a lot of green out there. I see a green hat. Actually, I always thought St. Pat was a Catholic, you know, Irish Catholic, and the Catholics have sort of taken our Peter, okay, and taken our, but anyway, you might want to do a little research on it, but Patrick was a godly man in the, about 400 AD, he was so zealous for God. By the way, zeal is contagious. Okay? Dad, you get zealous, your kids will be zealous. You be passive, your kids are going to be passive. And he had these real, real zealots that followed him. They called Celts. And they were missionaries, and literally, and actually, you want to read this. This is a little, we won't read it this morning. We've read this on a Thursday night one. Just read this little deal. And if you want to really do just research, Google was St. Patrick a Baptist. But what they did is, let me read here. One of the bravest things the Celts did under the leadership of Patrick of Ireland was something we in our culture of fear would probably call plain foolhardy. And I probably would. I'd probably join as I tell you what they did. About four of them would get in these little boats where they would pray something like this: Lord of the wind and the waves. By the way, God is the Lord of the wind and the waves. God is the Lord of everything. And this might sound a little bit of lack of order, maybe foolhardy, but I like their zeal. By the way, I'd rather hang out with someone who's a little too zealous than someone that has no passion for God. And so what they would do, about four of them would get into these little boats. Again, this is 380 AD, around 400 AD. They get in these little boats where they would pray something like this: Lord of the wind and waves, take us, your servants, to where you will. Then, trusting themselves to the sovereign God and his desire to redeem all peoples, they would push out into the ocean, allowing the tides to sweep them up and hopefully to land them on some shore where they would then proceed to preach the gospel to the people there. Now, let me say this. If Mark got called a mission field, Brother Pineda, I would not advise that. Well, Pastor and Dad, can you give me some advice about going to the mission field? Yeah, just get in a sailboat and say, God, take us to where you want us to go. I wouldn't advise that. But this was their missionary zeal. I want to ask you, are you doing good work for God? And then do you have zeal for the Lord? Let's bow our heads for just a minute. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.